But no matter how mighty the metrics, there seems to be a commercial imperative, on the one hand, to make you happy, on the other, to ruin your day. And whether or not Upworthy wants to admit it, plenty of people seek out articles precisely because they are annoying. It's a ritual known as hate reading, and Gothamist's Ben Yakis is a master of the form. In his series called The New York Times Presents Brunch Hate Reads, Yakis reads the New York Times style and real estate sections and lambasts them for what he sees as their disgraceful lack of self-awareness and their obsession with millennials, monocles, life coaches, and, you know, style.
One of the first ones that I remember that really struck out was a story about dorm room chandeliers, about this being a hot new trend that, you know, you're a nobody unless you have a chandelier in your dorm room. And that was precious. That was truly precious. The one that I think of as being one of the most indicative of all the issues was called Creating Hipsterbia. And these were gentrifiers who moved to Brooklyn and then were being priced out by younger gentrifiers. And they were having families, so they're all moving to Westchester, which no one has ever done before. But the difference, I guess, here is that what they were doing is creating a little Brooklyn where they were moving. And that's what they were so excited about, was they could walk down the street and see their local artisanal hand soap maker. I do have one quote from that one because it killed me. They found this guy, this futurism consultant. To this day, I have no idea what that is. And I don't really want to know. I just want to imagine. And he said, Brooklyn is turning out to be the last 3 days of Burning Man.
And you focus most of your delightfully caustic attention onto a feature called The Hunt, which I know you think kind of sums up everything that's wrong with these kinds of stories in general.
Well, The Hunt is a feature where they follow a couple or somebody as they try to look for property around New York City. It's a feature which in theory is really fascinating and could really open a window into the struggles that New Yorkers are going through with the affordable housing crisis, with the various economic issues that we have and unemployment. But instead, it seems more often than not to focus on these incredibly oblivious, wealthy people. Someone who says something like, I couldn't possibly live anywhere but Brooklyn. Or the idea of living in Brooklyn is just too horrifying. These people who seem like cartoons.
Do you like writing these?
It depends. You know, some of them I find fun. I feel bad for some of the younger people because I realize that some people are not aware of how they come across.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like there was a 22-year-old kid last year, which was one of the worst hunts I think I've ever seen. And he was looking for a Tribeca place with the soul of a Greenwich Village place, which is so hard to come by. And, you know, it all ends up being that really what he's looking for is a place with ginormous ceilings so he can fit his giant portrait of himself above his bed. I just was in shock that this person would have agreed that he could not see how he comes across and how other people might view him.
Some of our producers admit to reading these sections of the Times first, knowing that they will hate it. You write articles about them. What does it say about us?
I think part of it is that we as a community of New Yorkers need to vent. We're just trying to eat. We're trying to afford our crappy apartment. And we see these stories that have no reflection, no relation to our lives. We just have to throw your hands up and laugh. You have to have some sort of outlet.
You're just not willing to admit that you love, love, love these stories. You feel superior to these people.
You know, I do think that I love them. Yeah, I think it's hard not to say that at a certain point. I mean, there's the Schadenfreude sort of aspect of it. But I think it's also, I love the New York Times. I think that the New York Times is the most important newspaper in the world. And I expect more because they're so great. And I don't want them to fall back on these lazy tropes and stereotypes that lesser places do.
This particular episode is about feeling things. Upworthy says that empathy is its mission. It wants to inspire.
Oh,
and other sites like NPR are following suit. Where do you see your enterprise, the hate reading brunch column, in this emotional ecosystem?
It's probably a corrective. It's a balance of the force. When you're dealing with things like Upworthy and these relentlessly positive sites and inspirational stories kind of makes you want to puke a little bit. Even when the people involved are authentic and genuine and they have good stories, the way they're packaged, I can't even read that stuff.
Okay, but I suggest that your role in this emotional media ecosystem involves something quite different. Don't you think that you're creating a kind of perverse, profoundly ironic goodwill among your fellow New York sufferers?
Yeah, part of loving New York is complaining about it. And that doesn't mean that you hate it or that you're miserable. It means that that's part of the lifestyle and part of the joy that we get, that we get to complain about such a wonderful place.
As you note, if you are a subject of one of these New York Times stories, you've placed yourself directly in the bullseye, and you offer an advisory at the bottom of every one of your columns.
Right, the PSA. The New York Times has a weakness for self-parodying, trend-baiting, masochistic millennial obsessing, and the perverse lifestyles of the rich. If a reporter with the real estate, style, or weekend sections approaches you about a story, just smile gently and run in the opposite direction. No one is forcing you to become representative of everything that everyone hates about New Yorkers.
Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Ben Yakis is an editor for the online site Gothamist and creator of its Brunch Hate Reads series. That's it for this week's show. How did it make you feel? On the Media is produced by Kimmy Regler, Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, and Jesse Brenneman. We had more help from Alex Friedland and Dasha Lisitsina, and our show was edited by me. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Casey Means. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.